It's Sports MacGuffins, episode number 24. We have a ton to get to today. The national championship for college football, the wild card round of the playoffs. We've got the divisional round coming up. NBA seasons at the halfway point, and we've got stories from all around the world of sports, all that and more coming up here in just a bit. I'm Neek, your host, and I'm joined by my friend Daryl.
Hello, hello, everybody.
And my friend Corey.
Howdy.
And we're glad you're with us tonight. We're going to be talking about a lot of that stuff. Plus, don't forget to, you know, if you like this podcast, give us a follow, subscribe, like, and tell your friends. We need listeners. Tell your friends.
Wow, you're selling it there, Nick.
Way to sound needy.
Oh, you are needy.
A little bit desperate there, buddy.
I am desperate. Sometimes I see 10 downloads, and I'm like, oh.
It's a sad day.
It's a sad day. But it wasn't a sad day last night, which was Monday, January something or other. Tonight's 7th. Okay. Yeah, the 7th. Tonight is January 8th. We're recording this on Tuesday. But the national championship going into it, everybody had already crowned Alabama the champions of 2019 and the world.
I mean, I believed in my orange brethren.
Don't lie.
I mean,
I thought they could win. I didn't expect it to happen that it did.
I didn't expect them to destroy Alabama, but I thought they could win.
I thought they could squeak it out.
Yeah. Alabama's defense wasn't as airtight going in as it usually is. So I thought they had a decent chance. I didn't expect them to, you know, blow them out of the water. And
what are you talking about? This is Alabama. Not only is it Alabama, it's one of the best teams of all time. It's almost as if that narrative is dumb, and that when it happens, it's going to be overcome. I recall another team being described as one of the best of all time, and it losing.
Yep.
USC, baby.
It's true. It happened.
Yep, I remember. I remember them talking about how it was like the perfect college football team.
Yeah, that's what I heard. And then they all those wins disappeared. Those don't exist anymore.
Well.
Yeah, it didn't even happen. Yeah.
It never happened.
Okay. All right. Well, you're going to be petty. But
I mean, officially, Texas didn't even play a team for the national championship.
Yeah, they just walked in and they won.
They walked in and won.
So
easy.
All right, fair enough. I guess. So last night, here's the thing that sucks, right? I got out of work. And I hopped in my car to drive home. And by the time I got home, it was already 14-7.
Oh.
And the game literally had started when I got into the vehicle.
You missed the pick six?
I missed the pick six. I missed him coming back, and then I missed the following Clemson touchdown.
I mean, that's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I know. I'm
very
like,
unexpected start to the game.
And you know what? The funny thing is, it still looked like the Bama defense was going to give them hell because they weren't given a lot in the run game. But God, Trevor Lawrence, man.
I mean, I will say that Clemson seemed to convert every third and over 10 yards or third and nine and over they had.
They had some elaborate plays.
As the game went on, I was like, man, Clemson, their bread and butter is like third and 10. Alabama's fucked. It's third and 14.
All they got to do is get down to third and whatever, man, and they're good to go.
Doesn't matter.
Third down was their, I was going to say their Everest, but that doesn't even make sense. Third down was their kiddie roller coaster, right?
Yeah, I just don't know.
Okay, that's an interesting metaphor, but
there's no line. Yeah, it wasn't good. It didn't work.
Clemson wide receivers are making some amazing catches. Let's give them that. It was fucking great.
It was their bottomless pasta bread bowl, Nick.
There you go. That's much better. Their endless breadsticks.
Yeah, their endless breadsticks was on third down.
This was, I don't want to sound rude, but this is, it wasn't, okay, so here's the thing. For it being a blowout game,
right,
it was a very enjoyable football game.
I mean,
in a Schadenfreude kind of way.
If you're not an Alabama fan, it's very enjoyable.
Well, here's the thing. I think there's such a fatigue And I don't know why I say I think. I know there's a fatigue when it comes to the SEC, and especially Alabama.
That's true, but yeah. I will say, having said that, not thinking about it, Clemson has been in every playoff as well.
It's true.
Like, it's not like Clemson isn't always there, so it's not like surprising.
Yeah, but there's like, a difference. Nobody kisses the ass of their conference.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not a fan of the SEC and the SEC chants and somebody rooting for a conference, which is ridiculous to me. But
yes, the yeah. SEC went 5-5.
Aggie fans, man. Okay,
especially when the you know, certain teams that never win their conference root for their like chant SEC.
Yeah,
because they think they're better than other teams because they're in a conference that's better.
Yeah. I have a juicy hot take from one of those fans.
Which okay.
Which kind of fan?
From A&M? An Aggie message board.
A certain team. Okay. I mean, is it an
it's
message
an Aggie
boards
fan.
Are a cesspool of
oh
bad,
no.
So
this person goes by the handle I love Agland.
Okay, great.
I wonder if it's one I saw.
It may have been. I think Chip Brown reposted it. And it was, Bama is tired after playing basically the national championship game against Georgia. Both of them had a hard time getting motivated after that. And the SEC conference schedule year in and year out.
Oh, my God.
Get the fuck out of here.
It has to be a troll, right? 100%
actually,
a troll.
Actually, I've heard Skip Bayless make the same argument.
Well,
Skip Bayless,
of course, he is the master troll.
He's a troll that has a TV show.
That's all I needed to hear. Skip Bayless said it. It is clearly worthless.
Professional troll, Skip Bayless.
If you don't know who Skip Bayless is, he's one of those talking heads who used to be on ESPN, who moved over to Fox Sports, and now does those shock and awe things. He doesn't like LeBron James.
Right.
He's not a team player, blah, 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 blah. He's not one of the greats, blah, blah, blah.
Prince James, as he likes to call him.
Yeah, Skip Bayless is an old bitch.
Yep.
He's a bitch. Anyway, sorry. Not to go off on a tangent there, but no, the
but
other
there
thing
are, I, but that's an extreme example, but I've seen many things, and I've talked to many people who legitimately believe the sentiment, even if they don't say it quite as stupidly as this person does.
That's ridiculous. It was such a massacre.
It was quite the ass whooping that they got laid into them.
44-16.
I mean, I love watching the SEC lose, but I would have preferred a game that, you know, was competitive to some extent.
Didn't score in the second half.
2 years ago, we had a more competitive national championship game, and that was with Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
Now, granted, that defense was way better than this defense.
I think
Alabama
was way better than...
And Clemson's defense, I think, is that much better.
Stellar.
Like, dude, Clemson's defense is ridiculously good.
They shut them out in the second half. Alabama did nothing.
They didn't
And
have...
when they did, they got a shit ton of yards. Mm-hmm. And then when they had chances, when they needed to score in the red zone, Clemson fucking shut them down. It was fucking awesome to watch. It was impressive.
Was anyone surprised that they did not turn to Jalen Hurts at a certain point in this game?
I mean, well, they put him in the last drive, and he got demolished, so I don't think he was going to do any better.
I mean, before that, though, because just last year, it was Tua getting thrown in instead.
Yeah, but Tua's better than Jalen Hurts.
I mean, I agree
and
with
also
you.
And also, it would make him look really desperate, Nick Saban, if he's just throwing things. At the end of the game, it's like, oh, the game's out of reach anyway, throw him out there, why not?
I mean, when they threw him out there, he did absolutely nothing.
Well, but he did do something similar, though, at the start of the third quarter. So they come out after the half, and then, you know, they have an okay field position there set up, and then they do a fake field goal attempt.
That's the stupidest. I saw that. That play was the stupidest play goal I can imagine.
I think, honestly, you're in a better position if you just kick the field goal, because then at least there's a little bit more momentum coming to you, right? You got some points on the board.
Nick, you saw how bad Bama's kicker was, right? He smashed the post on an extra point, Nick.
Okay,
the kicker is bad, dude. Like, he's not a... Like, you think the best team in the world could get a fucking kicker. But no, apparently not. Like, they have no... I don't think Saban had any faith in the kicking game, so it was like, fuck it. But I don't see why you would run a fake field goal. Just let Tua go out there and try to pick it up. Like, what the fuck was the point? Like, you think that running the slow-ass backup, like, quarterback's going to work?
Yeah, with the kicker being your
kicker
lead blocker.
Kicker is your lead blocker? Yeah, that's going to fucking work against the Clemson D-line.
It didn't.
You couldn't even run when you fucking had your running back in there.
Almost
I mean, actually,
like
their running
off.
Back was tearing the shit out of Clemson. And then when they tried to throw, they did nothing. Like, they'd run all the way down the field and then get stops and couldn't get in from, like, the one-yard line. It was fucking ridiculous. But, yeah, that play call was awful.
Boy, I tell you what. Trevor Lawrence.
Saban got rattled and didn't know what to do being down by so many points.
Trevor Lawrence is a freshman.
True freshman.
Holy hell.
So we're like a couple of receivers too.
And
that one receiver that was making like epic ass catches, he's a true freshman too, I think.
And Nick, he's 6'5".
Oh, he's perfect.
That means that all those NFL GMs were getting a little stiffy watching that game.
Oh,
not
man.
Only that. We were concerned about how much he weighed because he looks really small, right? But he's actually 215 pounds, apparently.
215 pounds?
Really?
Yeah, he doesn't look
skinny.
It.
He didn't look that.
I guess he just got skinny legs.
I mean, if you're 6'5", I guess 215 is not really... You're not going to be very thick. Right?
That's true. I suppose it's spread out more.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't know, man. I mean, if he stays healthy, they're gonna destroy for like two more years, right? Like, that offense is not... Is going to be good for at least two more years.
At least two more years. At least two more years.
He has to play two more years. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm with you guys. I thought they stood a chance. I did not see anything like this coming at all.
I mean, the fun cherry on top at the end was hilarious. That Clemson picked up a 4th-and-5 with all of their backups in. It was pretty hilarious to me. They took out everybody.
Gave him the old curtain call.
They had a 4th-and-5 run, and they picked up the 4th-and-5. I was like, just laughing to myself. Alabama just fucking gave up at some point, I'm sure.
Oh, you saw it with one of the players. What was his name? Suggs?
Ruggs. So was it Ruggs?
Was it Ruggs
Rags
or Suggs?
Or something.
Something like that. And
the Alabama defensive lineman who just didn't even try.
Yeah, on one of those plays in that last drive, the running back cut to the outside, and the Alabama defensive tackle just like barely turned and just watched him run away.
Run by him. He's like, well, whatever.
It was very symbolic of Alabama in the second half of the game.
I mean, it's just, that game was over real quick. Like,
do you think Notre Dame gets a little bit of a not an apology, but like a little bit of a, like just some
credit.
Slack at this point. Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, they actually they lost by less than Alabama did.
Yeah, that's a win for an Aggies.
I mean, that's a win.
It's an Aggie win right there.
Yeah, lost by less than Alabama did. I mean,
yeah.
Fuck, A&M's the best team Clemson played, according to the scores.
Look, yeah. I willingly and
I
readily shit.
I mean, obviously the first game is different, but...
Right. No,
why
but
do you
still,
shit on Notre Dame?
What's that?
Because they're independent?
Yeah, because we've talked about it. They don't have the championship game.
They basically
have
to win every single... They can't lose a game, essentially.
Right.
Ever.
right. But even then, like the argument being that without that extra game, is it a strong enough schedule?
I feel like
they went out.
Based on these results, I feel like Notre Dame would have played Bama a lot better than they played Clemson.
You know what? I think you might be right about that.
I think Notre Dame just got fucked in the draw on that one.
Well, that'll happen. So, yeah, Clemson comes out looking amazing. I think it makes Notre Dame look a little bit better. Bama, who was supposed to be this one of the greats of all times, isn't necessarily the case. They were a great team, but
man, I didn't like what Bama give up to Georgia, like 30-something.
Something like
I'd
that.
I didn't think Bama's defense was like incredibly impressive this year.
No, but that Georgia offense can score in a hurry. We've seen it.
Yeah, they didn't do shit against Texas till like the fourth quarter in garbage time when Texas was playing fucking prevent.
Yeah, but if they got the onside, it's a threat. So.
Yeah, Texas racking up all the defensive penalties they can muster.
They love letting people score at the end of the game. I mean, Texas dominated that whole game until the very end.
I agree, but they can score in a hurry.
So, by that account, Texas's defense was better than Bama's defense this year.
Well, in that game.
In against a common opponent.
That's fair.
I mean, and Texas's defense isn't going to ever be rated better because of the Big 12 offenses.
Oh, that's the other thing. I don't know if you guys saw this, but people were going off on Twitter last night. It was outstanding. They were like, oh, man. Even Sam Acho, who played for the Longhorns years ago, he's like, oh, isn't it amazing how an SEC defense doesn't look as good as it normally does if it plays real offense?
I believe that was the other Acho brother, not Sam.
I thought it was Sam.
It was Emmanuel.
Oh, it was Emmanuel?
Yeah.
I thought it was Sam.
I know Emmanuel tweeted.
It might have been Emmanuel. That.
I don't know. You retweeted it. That's why I saw it.
Oh, yeah. Then it was Emmanuel. Okay. Either way, it was him. There were a bunch of talking heads who were tweeting about it.
Like shitting on Bama's defense?
Shitting on the SEC defenses and saying that, yeah, they're good defenses, but like their offenses in the SEC aren't anything special.
Yeah, I mean, you can overinflate your defensive stats by playing bad offenses if you want to. It's perfectly good.
Exactly.
Yeah, SEC teams are on safer offenses. Mm-hmm. Like you saw in the LSU A&M game, just play super safe unless absolutely necessary.
Yeah.
The other tweets I saw, or like the references, were people saying like, oh man, what a great back-and-forth high-scoring game. It's like, if only we had watched the Big 12, because they had this every single week.
What was that in reference to?
To the high score of the game. Yeah, and like the back and forth.
When it was back and forth in the first quarter until Clemson pulled away.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you know what? They're right. It's like, I do like a defensive struggle. It's fun in the football game sometimes, but sometimes I like, you know, good offenses.
I don't know. I like seeing quarterbacks eat it.
I mean, I like that too, but I mean, I like a little bit of both.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
No.
Okay.
Quarterbacks
well,
go down.
Okay, Mr. SEC.
Crush them. Get those dirty pretty boys. I think they're better than me.
To watch quarterbacks get sacked a lot?
Yes, I do. Even if it's a team I don't really like, but if they're going to sack a quarterback, I'm like, oh, man, get it. Get him.
So Clemson whips up, wins it all. And thus, an end to the college football season, and thus we start to enter the sad times. But the good news is there's always other stuff to talk about from college football, because there's a couple of other things. One, they look ahead. But also, they do one final AP poll, and that's by the writers.
Which is total bullshit.
Yeah, it's a really bad. It's bad. So let's take a look at it. We'll just go down the top 10 real quick. So at one is Clemson, two Alabama, right? I think we can agree with both of those. Yeah, Ohio State at three, sure.
I guess they won their bowl game. Whatever.
They won their bowl game. They were the closest thing up before, in this case, Oklahoma and Notre Dame were the other two teams.
I think Ohio State and Oklahoma could be flipped. That's fine, but whatever. Doesn't matter either.
Well,
who did Ohio State play?
Washington.
Yeah. Oh, pfft. Yeah.
Sure. I mean, pfft. That was a good matchup.
Oklahoma could have beat Washington.
I mean, Oklahoma.
I don't think that's a test.
Well, they still won that game, so.
Oklahoma played fucking Alabama. Ohio State wouldn't have beat Alabama either. That doesn't matter. Who gives a shit? It's 3-4. Who cares?
Anyway, yeah, that does not matter. Number six is LSU, and tied for seven.
Mm-hmm.
Tied for seventh, Florida.
Yep.
Interesting. And Georgia.
Mm hmm.
And then at number nine is Texas.
Last time I checked, Texas beat Georgia. Am I mistaken? Did I miss that game?
Apparently.
No,
I swear
I was
that
there.
Happened, right?
No,
I'm
they
pretty
weren't,
sure
they
I watched
care.
It. I watched it with you guys, yeah. I'm pretty sure that happened, A. B, fuck the AP.
No, but it, you know what, Corey? It doesn't. No, Georgia was not. No, they just weren't in the mood.
Yeah. They weren't in the mood. Oh, that's right.
They had.
I think, was that the trifecta of, I think, so one of those teams lost to one of those teams. Each one of those teams beat each other, right? LSU, Florida, Georgia.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I think LSU and Florida only have 10 wins, just like Texas. Georgia has 11. But Texas beat Georgia. So they should be ranked ahead of Georgia?
I mean, that would be my guess as well.
So the only fair thing would be that Texas should be number 6.
Yeah.
Because they proved they were better than Georgia. Georgia was better than LSU and Florida in the SEC. Therefore,
but
Texas
LSU
better
beat
than
UCF.
All those SEC.
That's a much bigger win than beating
UCF without their starting main quarterback. Sure,
guys.
Florida beat the shit out of Michigan, who is awful. Thank you, Jim Harbaugh. Michigan's terrible.
Guys, you're forgetting a very important thing here. This is the
SEC. SEC, SEC.
That's right.
Yeah, kiss my ass.
This is the SEC.
How many other SEC teams are on this list? Oh, like 2 or 3? Great. Fuck the SEC.
A&M.
So there's 4 in the top 10.
There's 4 in the top 10, and then we have Kentucky and Texas A&M. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
I wonder why the SEC has so many wins. It's just confusing. I don't understand.
You know, only 5.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They get like 4 free wins every year for every single team. That's pretty cool.
Only 5 of their teams won their bowl games.
And those are the ones that are ranked.
They were 5-5.
No, actually, you don't even have to win your bowl game to still be ranked. Sorry.
No, because
Georgia's still above Texas, even though they lost to Texas. It's fucking stupid. How do they even justify this ranking? It's fucking dumb.
Well, it's a bunch of people voting, so it was probably people who just
Kentucky won their bowl game.
We know what happens when people get together and vote.
Bullshit?
Dumb shit. Well, in this case,
I just don't understand how anybody puts Georgia ahead of Texas.
Oh.
Doesn't make any sense.
They were in the playoff, therefore they didn't care.
Head-to-head game, they lost it. It's fucking stupid. These rankings mean nothing, just like they always do.
Yes, they're completely arbitrary, but we're going to talk about them because they're irritating, and they're meant to drive this. Now, let's talk about something else. We'll talk about the odds for 2020 National Championship. So, right out of the gate, Clemson is...
Can you tell me what plus 180 means?
I have no idea, actually.
Cool. All right.
Let me see here. Hold on.
It's obviously less than 2-1. Or they would just say 2-1, right?
It's less than good with money lines? I don't know how money lines work.
I don't either.
I think you
In
just
this case, it looks like
some odd
Clemson and Alabama are the two favorites.
No
I think it means
shit.
You have to put 180... Over 100 to win 100.
I think, yeah, you're right. Yeah. That's exactly what it means. And then Ohio State, for some reason, is 12-1 odds.
I feel like that's a dumb decision. Their quarterback just declared for the draft, right?
And they're losing their head coach.
Cool.
Georgia, 12-1 odds.
Well, I know they're not going to win because they're worse than Texas. I'm just kidding.
Michigan 14-1 odds. For some reason, everybody
that shit ain't happening,
still
bro.
Seems to believe in this Jim Harbaugh thing.
I cannot believe that after the drubbing Florida put on them that they would think Michigan's going to be great next year or something.
And then,
Vegas knows that there's a lot of dumb fans that will make that bet.
That's true.
I'm certainly a lot of Michigan fans.
There's Oklahoma 15-1 odds.
Sure, Oklahoma's usually pretty good.
Then Texas 20-1.
Kyler Murray.
Texas 20-1.
I mean, that's great. I don't think Texas is going to win, but that's cool.
I mean, some of these are long bets. And then we enter a bunch of 25-1s. We'll start with Washington, then Florida, then Notre Dame. And each one of those, with the exception of Washington, I'd probably be like, yeah.
I don't think Florida is going to do it. I would have more faith in Notre Dame being.
I mean, I have more faith in the other two teams over Washington.
Washington, yeah, no.
All right, folks. And then there's Nebraska?
At 25-1, you say?
Yeah, 25-1 odds.
Yep. I mean, what did Nebraska win this year? 4 whole games? 4?
Yep.
4.
That's enough to build hope off of, I guess.
They lost their first 6 games. And then they went 4-2.
Oh man, that's on the upswing.
Yep.
They're on the upswing, guys.
That's how it's done, man.
I don't understand that.
That never worked for Texas. The concept. God dang it.
We didn't go from 4 wins to being 25-1 odds.
Okay. No, we didn't. What is this?
We won 7 games last year and won 10 this year. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Apparently Nebraska is going to go from 4 wins to 13 or some shit.
Vegas is pretty savvy about this stuff, but sometimes they make questionable decisions. Let's be honest.
I mean, people are giving Nebraska like a benefit. Even like some of the early polls for next year when they do that bullshit is like ranking Nebraska pretty high for some fucking reason. I think people just have that much belief in Scott Frost, guys. I don't know why.
Wasn't Texas supposed to lose by like 13 points in one game, in the game to Georgia or something?
Yeah, it was like 14 were the odds, I think. Like minus 14 was the line. It's pretty impressive considering they won.
Considering they kicked their ass.
Yeah, I mean, they were beating the shit out of them. I mean, they didn't beat the shit out of them, but they were dominating them, physically dominating them.
Unbelievable.
They held them down to their lowest rushing yards, their lowest total yards, and their lowest scoring.
We were the best defense Georgia saw all year, guys.
Yep.
Texas. That's right. So I mean, I will say Texas is losing a shit ton of starters, apparently.
Especially on defense, yeah.
Especially on defense, yeah. And so, Lil Jordan is leaving, apparently.
Lil Jordan Humphrey is on his way out. What was I going to say? I have a bit of a problem in that my brother's wife went to Alabama.
Ah,
okay.
So, on the one hand, I don't like Alabama. On the other hand, I don't want to be rude.
Yeah.
And, like, celebrate when they lose. But I really enjoy them losing.
Yeah.
I have a coworker who I kind of felt bad talking shit about Alabama earlier because her brother went to Alabama. She actually roots for Alabama.
Well, her brother went there. She didn't go there.
I mean, she still likes Alabama as a, you know, as a fan, I guess. And I'm like, you know what? I hate the SEC. So
that's like my friend.
And I root against the SEC because there's teams that chant SEC, SEC. And she even said, you know what? We hate those teams too. The loser teams that can't win the conference that think they're cool because they're just in the SEC, they don't like them either. Right, and I was
she's a bandwagoner.
That's good. Well, I mean, she has a reason to be connected.
Yeah.
Like, apparently, they also, her and her, another person from North Carolina, told me they don't like Georgia fans either.
Raise up!
Because they were happy that Texas beat Georgia because they didn't like the Georgia fans because they were apparently douches. Also, apparently, Clemson fans are assholes. I don't know.
Oh,
apparently,
man.
Any other fan base is an asshole.
Well, let's be honest. Essentially. It's true.
It depends.
If you're from North Carolina, you just hate everyone else.
Well, yeah. North Carolina is... what have they done?
Okay, so...
They're really good at basketball, Nick.
Going to Texas home games, the worst fans that I've seen.
USC.
USC.
Oh, like... Not our fans. Our fans.
Oh yeah, there was a dirty USC fan who tried to like my parents have their season tickets, and their like donation is frozen at like 1990 prices.
And it's fantastic.
So they buy 4 seats because if they got less, they'd have to pay current market rate for the donation. They're like, screw that! It's actually a lot cheaper to
have 4 seats instead of like 3 or 2.
Yeah. And this USC guy comes down and tries to like squeeze into, and he starts like harassing my dad. Like, is that seat? Is that a seat? It's my seat now. Yeah, it's my seat.
And the seat your dad paid for?
Yeah. It's like, show me the ticket. I ain't showing you my ticket.
You can get the fuck out of here.
And he went on, and he was really angling to get in that seat, and then eventually his girlfriend or whatever got him to shut up.
Well, that's good. This was a USC fan.
USC fan. Mississippi fans, Ole Miss. They're pretty awful.
Are they really? Yeah. I thought they were pretty inviting.
Yeah.
Well, when you're at their stadium, probably.
They were pretty obnoxious.
The problem is there's douchebags in every fan base.
Oklahoma State.
And they can ruin it for everybody, really.
I'll probably be one of those fans if I went to this.
Ohio
you went
State.
To other people's stadiums.
Ohio State has some of the worst fans.
Do they?
Hands down, I have heard from multiple sources that I have worked with that they drop N-bombs on people.
Oh, that's fucking rude, isn't it?
They are racist as fuck. Not all of them.
Are the Oklahoma fans, Daryl? You interact with them pretty closely, right?
Oklahoma fans, they're backwards and all, but yeah. it's not too bad.
How much better do you think it is that game's played at a neutral site every year?
I think it's great. Yeah. I don't want any.
No, how much better do you think the fans act based on the fact that it's at a neutral site? If they had to come to Austin, would they be angry?
Well, like, both fans are like, it's a trip for both fans, so they're sort of in a better mood anyway.
They're
going to the fair, they're getting wasted, they're eating corn dogs.
So it makes the experience way better to not have to go to Austin or go to, oh god, if I had to go to Norman.
Then after the game, there was a OU fan going around, like, shaking people's hand, Texas fans, like, oh, it was a great game, it was a great game. And after he shook my hand, I was like, he probably rubbed his nuts on his with his hands before.
Yeah, but he touched a lot of hands before he got to you. So,
to be fair, it's not like my hands have never touched my own nuts. So,
I mean, you could have touched your nuts you probably touched your dick earlier in the day. I mean,
just the same, Daryl.
It's all good. I mean, that's actually very respectful. Yeah, I would immediately wash my hands, though.
You've touched something that touched some nuts.
Yeah, I don't like shaking hands with people because I don't trust them.
Speaking of touching nuts, let's talk about somebody who rubs people the wrong way.
Okay.
Let's talk about Cliff Kingsbury.
I mean, I don't mind Cliff Kingsbury.
Oh, I don't know. It depends, right? So,
I mean, I think the situation that he's in right now is fucking hilarious, but I don't mind him as a person.
Boy, I'll tell you what. Cliff Kingsbury, just a week ago when we were doing this podcast, I was like, man, USC is so set. Like, they have a good offensive coordinator, they have a good defensive coordinator. Well, guess what? That shit is out the window.
Yeah, no more Cliff Kingsbury.
Yep. Cliff Kingsbury, who ended up going to get interviewed and was a head coach in college, right? He was a head coach in the Big 12 at Texas Tech, a school that is okay.
A middling school.
Right.
Never.
It was very enjoyable with Mike Leach. School. He had a hell of an offense there that's never had a defense. And it didn't have a great offense even when, what's his name was there? Cliff Kingsbury. Mm-hmm. And now.
I mean, yeah.
We thought Cliff Kingsbury was probably going to be like an OC somewhere, right? It's going to be an offensive coordinator somewhere. I wanted them to be in Dallas because I thought, hey, if anybody's going to get the best out of Dak and Ezekiel Elliott, it's going to be that dude.
Oh, you were expecting him to get an OC job in the NFL and leave USC?
Yeah.
He already accepted a job at USC, right?
Because that's the usual career trajectory. You flame out as a coach. You lay low for a year or two as a coordinator.
Yeah, you get fired as a head coach in college.
Yeah.
And then you lay low as a coordinator. You go be an OC for a little bit. Maybe in the NFL, maybe in college, right?
Or both. You go back into the college ranks and you're like, you know what? I've done all I can here. Obviously, I wasn't a good head coach, so I'm going to go and make the leap to the NFL instead. So we thought, NFL is probably going to pay better. We'll see what happens there. There's a potential he could go there. Enter the Arizona Cardinals.
I mean, yeah.
They're
real bad.
They're real bad. They won 3 games. They can't do much worse, I think, is their slogan for 2019 to 2020. That's their slogan for this upcoming season. Therefore, they have made Cliff Kingsbury their head coach.
Yep.
4 years.
Four-year deal.
Option for a fifth, which I can't predict. I'm pretty sure won't be picked up. But
you never know.
Oh, he also interviewed with the New York Jets, guys. So he had options as a head coach in the NFL, possibly.
I went to sunny Arizona.
Good old Arizona. I mean, to work with good old Josh Rosen.
I heard, I can't remember which announcer it was. I wish I could remember. I want to say it was Collinsworth. But he brought up the point of, like, everyone wants the next Sean McVay, right? The next young, hot coordinator turned head coach.
Right.
And he said, like, and they're willing to go really low down the totem pole to find these guys and give them a shot. And then 2 days later, Cliff Kingsbury gets the job at Arizona.
Guys, but Patrick Mahomes thinks he can be a great NFL coach. Because Patrick Mahomes would know.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes.
He played for him.
He's played for a good NFL head coach.
I mean, it would have made perfect sense if they brought him in as an offensive coordinator, work with Josh Rosen. They're, you know, going to be a second-year quarterback next year.
I mean, I guess they thought...
As a fucking head coach?
I guess they thought it's not going to be that pricey. We haven't seen, to be fair, we haven't seen what
I don't know how much he's getting paid.
The money is
you,
yet, but I'm guessing...
Gave him a four-year deal.
I'm guessing it won't be that much. I mean, the idea, I guess, is... Go for broke. You can't do worse.
Fucking hilarious.
We'll go somewhere.
Look forward to the 0-16 Arizona Cardinals next year.
Kingsbury wasn't a good college coach or something in their mind.
They had the worst. Cardinals had like the worst offense last year, so I guess it couldn't get any worse.
They were like, look, one way or the other, the offense is going to be better.
There's no guarantee of that.
It's got to be. Maybe.
Maybe.
We'll see.
It's just amazing. It's fucking amazing that this happened. Like, just hilarious.
It really is incredible.
Oh, my God. It's
we'll
an
see
incredible
what happens.
Thing.
Keep scraping that bottom of the barrel. There might be some gold down there.
Guys, I'm going to take... I tell you what my strategy for fantasy football is next year. Totally picking Josh Rosen.
I ain't fucking doing that.
I'm taking a fucking flyer on Josh Rosen.
It's gonna be Patrick Mahomes part two.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Too bad I won't be able to get him as such a steal this next year.
I know. Patrick Mahomes is a beast.
Of course, he'll probably have a sophomore
known quantity
slump.
Now. Oh, yep. That would be sad.
Oh, he will. He will.
Probably. Right. I mean, that happens to everybody, huh?
Although he's not technically a rookie, but it's his first year starting, so.
Yeah, whatever.
All right, well, let's talk about, since we're into the NFL, let's talk about Wild Card Weekend.
Woo, woo, woo.
First
the games
weekend.
Were terrible.
Who was terrible?
What?
The games.
Oh, yeah. We made
they
awful
were
picks,
were ugly
by the way.
As hell, brother.
It's true. Our picks were bad, too.
Yeah, our picks were bad, too.
I'm pretty sure I was 1-3.
Picks were bad. The games were bad.
I think I was 2-2.
You were the best at 2-2. I think Daryl and I were both 1-3. Because Daryl picked against the Cowboys like a dumbass. I'm just kidding.
Well, we all picked
the Texans.
Sure
we all picked the Texans, and they didn't bother to show up.
We're
to the
all
game.
A bunch of dumbasses, apparently.
Yep.
We all picked the Bears, who should have won, but their kicker is awesome and decided to smash the upright again because he's good at that.
Oh, man. Yeah. Let's talk.
I guess after really reviewing that video, apparently the ball was tipped. Gives a shit.
Upon further. He should have kicked it higher. I mean,
he should have kicked it higher.
I
and,
think,
you know.
They ended up going back and releasing that and also changing it so that Cody, what's his name?
Cody Parkey.
Cody Parkey's life wouldn't have been ended. Because he was getting death threats and shit, man.
I mean, I think
he's about to move
Chicago
in with Barton.
Might be looking for a new kicker. I mean, that's, what, the fifth time he hit the uprights? It's pretty sweet, dude.
Yeah, it was pretty legit. And
I don't even know how you do that. Like, that's just random as fuck. And then I picked the Ravens, and they didn't bother to show up to the game until the fourth quarter. That was pretty cool.
Oh, man, they were terrible. What was it in the first half? They had, like, -2
they
passing
had -2 passing yards, I think, like, partway through the third quarter.
Weren't there, like, 3 fumbles or something?
Yeah, it was pretty fucking bad.
Lamar
Jackson was pretty bad. And they still didn't put in Joe Flacco. And that's how much Joe Flacco is probably awful now.
Yeah, I kept seeing all these people saying.
They didn't try to put him in.
Yeah, I kept all these people saying, oh, they should put in Flacco. Like, what? So he can get dropped like a 6'4" sack of potatoes that he is?
I mean, he would have got massacred because the Chargers rush like pass rush is fucking amazing.
Yeah, you see Lamar Jackson is quick on his feet like Joe Flacco.
Yeah, it's surprising he didn't die, honestly.
Joe Flacco
would have got massacred.
By the time Lamar Jackson has taken like 6 running steps, Joe Flacco has moved a finger.
I mean, in all fairness, the Ravens defense played pretty well considering the Chargers had to kick 5 fucking field goals, but
yeah, it's true. Oh man, it was quite the struggle. It was a field goal fest.
Well, for one team, the other team didn't do anything until the fourth quarter.
Well, yeah. Still, though, like the fact that you're only up 12-0 at halftime.
It was a pretty bad game.
Considering you've been controlling the entire game. Speaking of like games that were over at the half, too, like just looking back at that Colts-Texans game, It was 21-7 at the half. And basically in the second half, the Colts came out and were like, I guess we're going to wait for this game to end.
Never do. They didn't do anything in the second half. They didn't have to.
They didn't need to.
Apparently the Texans decided to finally score a touchdown, I guess. I don't know. I didn't even watch the second half. I was like, this game's over.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. I took a nap.
I came back and I was like, did anything happen? Oh, the Texans finally scored.
I saw the Texans went like 3 and out on the first possession. I was like, well, time for a nap.
They didn't make very good adjustments, guys.
Yep. That nap was pretty nice. I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm not going to lie to you. I reached peak older age in that I dozed off in the third quarter of the Cowboys Seahawks game. My
really,
own favorite team.
Probably the most, one of the most interesting games that happened.
I was like, well, at halftime, I like laid down and I put it on my laptop and I just had it sitting on my chest. Ugh. And then I just dozed off.
That third quarter was real bad.
Yeah, that was probably why I dozed off. The Chargers game was it was competitive at least for a bit.
At the very end?
Yeah. I mean,
when things actually happened?
It didn't feel like the game was fully out of reach until really late.
I mean, I could have not watched it. I mean, wasn't it like 23-3 at one point?
Yeah, but I mean, like, it took forever to get to that point.
And then the Ravens, Justin Tucker missed a field goal, which is kind of sad. But the Ravens scored a couple touchdowns and then, had to get an onside kick, which is impossible in the NFL now, so it didn't matter.
Yep. Yeah.
Justin Tucker's never had an onside kick recovered for him.
Nope. It's hard to
do. It's hard to do.
They had two tries. And
it's very hard to do.
It's all, like it's almost impossible in the NFL now with the rule changes and stuff. This year was like 8%, which is fucking awful.
Those of you who don't know, they changed the kickoffs. I think we talked about it in a way back in one of our early episodes. Back before we were the powerhouse that we are today.
Yeah.
They changed the kickoff rules where it used to be you could get like a 5-yard head start,
like
as long as you didn't pass where the kicker was when he kicked off. Now they have to wait until the kicker kicks before they can run.
So
and without that head start, it's almost impossible to get downfield in time.
To get to the ball in time. Yeah. Physically like fucking impossible. So
unless you get like a super seriously high bounce, but that's really
hard. I mean, basically the guy trying to catch the ball on the other team has to muff the shit out of it for you to have a chance to recover.
You're basically waiting on a screw up at that point.
Yeah, you have to have someone screw up on the other team or else you're not getting the ball. Because it's always going to go right to a guy and he has to just fuck it up.
The fourth and final game from this weekend, though, was kind of entertaining. It was back and forth. The defenses seemed to be in control of it most of the time.
I only saw the end when Parkey disappointed me. But other than that, I mean, it was back and forth at the end, so it was actually kind of interesting.
It was a hell of a... I think the touchdown for the Eagles came on a fourth down. Their last...
Yeah, it was a fourth down like from the 2. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, the Eagles aren't going to get it, and then they got it on fourth down. I was like,
This is a game which I was torn because I'm a Cowboys fan. I don't like the Eagles, but I also didn't want to play the Saints in the Superdome. So
it kind of helps the Cowboys because they don't have to play the Saints. They get the Rams now.
Yeah, they play the Rams in L.A.
Which nobody gives a shit about. L.A. doesn't give a shit about football, so it's fine.
Right. It's a home game for the Cowboys. De facto.
I don't think that's true, but that's fine.
I mean, I don't.
Hey, they do their camp in Oxnard.
Yeah, they really do.
Really? It's funny.
It's possible. And you know what's going to be really weird is if the Cowboys and the Eagles end up playing in the...
That'd be really weird. I don't think
NFC
the Eagles are going to beat the Saints, dude.
No, they
Nick,
got
stop
killed.
Putting your Westlake quarterbacks into the NFC Championship.
Yeah. I'm not. Stop hating on that. Look, I'm not even doing that. They won the Super Bowl last year.
Where's Drew Brees from?
Purdue.
No, it's college, it's high school. It's in Texas, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It's like, God, is it like Katie or something?
Why don't you guys lick my nutsack? All right.
Some Houston player. He will defeat the Westlake quarterback, I believe, in Drew Brees.
I think the
Eagles are going to beat the Saints. Dude.
Look, it's two Westlake quarterbacks. Either way, one of them is going to the goddamn NFC Championship.
You wanted them to be both, Nick. Don't lie.
No, I don't. I don't care. Actually, I would prefer to see the Eagles over the Saints.
Why?
Because we know we can beat the Eagles.
Cowboys beat the Saints earlier in the year.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
They can beat anybody.
We would play the Eagles at home.
That's true, too.
That's a good point, yeah.
I think
we're counting our chickens before they hatch, boys.
Yeah, should we pick these games?
Yeah, let's take a look at them. All right, so we'll go game by game.
The next four games.
All right, 3:35 on Saturday. We got the Colts and the Chiefs.
The Chiefs?
The Chiefs are favored by 5.5.
I mean, this feels like a super easy pick for me.
Dude, this game feels weird.
The Chiefs have no defense, though.
So yeah, that's what I'm saying. And the Colts have a pretty good defense.
Real good defense as of late, so it's kind of scary. Oh, man.
It's a tough one. I honestly am torn, but Patrick Mahomes is my guy. Holy God, I'm looking at his stats. That's fucking crazy. 383 completions out of 580 attempts, 5,097 yards, and 50 touchdowns. Oh, woof. Bow wow. All right. I'm going Chiefs.
I'd say Chiefs.
You picked against them last
Chiefs.
Time. Okay.
All right.
We're all in the Chiefs.
The Colts are going to fucking win again.
Yeah, the Colts are going to win now.
We're like a curse, yeah.
7:15, the Cowboys are traveling to L.A.
Oh, my God, they're playing on Saturday again.
On the Rams. Yeah, 7:15.
Damn it.
And the Rams are favored by 7, a full touchdown.
I don't know about that, bro. That's weird.
I don't know
if
the Cowboys...
Cowboys definitely beat the spread.
Yeah, Cowboys will beat the spread.
That's not what we're picking at all.
Well, just in case you were going to Vegas.
I mean, the Rams' defense was looking really suspect toward the end of the year. Like, they were in some trouble.
I feel like the Cowboys were moving the ball pretty effectively before they got derailed in the red zone, and also a couple of penalties.
But I don't know, man.
I'm gonna ride the Cowboy train, yo.
You gonna homer it?
I'm gonna homer pick it again.
Okay. I feel like Daryl picked against the Cowboys last week, and that
keep doing it
showed him to be wrong.
Pick against them.
I'm gonna go with the Rams.
All right.
I think I have to pick the Cowboys then. I feel like we should match what we did last week, and Daryl can eat shit again.
Fair enough. Okay, and then we've got Sunday at noon is the Chargers Patriots. Which is an interesting matchup. It's at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. New England is favored by 4 points.
Patriots didn't lose at home this year.
They are 8-0 at home, but the Chargers are 7-1 away from home.
Damn.
I'm going Chargers. I think that the Ravens have a great defense. I don't think the Patriots have a great defense by comparison.
That's true.
And I don't think they can hold back the flood.
And the Chargers Patriots, show that they have a pretty
sound defense. Yeah.
They didn't really get a big game out of Phillip Rivers. It was really more from the defense.
And the Patriots always do some bullshit playoffs, though.
Yeah. That's what they do.
That's what they do. They show up in the playoffs. Fuck everyone's day up.
I'm going to go with... Patriots.
Patriots.
Chargers. Chargers. I'm going to go Chargers.
All right.
This is rough, man. That's a tough one.
I mean, they're all pretty tough.
I don't know. That one's like, I feel like the closest one.
Well, like, here's I think we're all going to pick the same.
The one I'm least certain in is the Patriots Chargers. Like
3:40 at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
Saints host the Eagles. And New Orleans is favored by 8.
Yeah, that sounds right. I'm going to say New Orleans.
I will say New Orleans.
I'm going to say New Orleans. I think Nick Foles' magic is going to evaporate, and the Eagles will be exposed as the one-hit wonders that they are.
I wouldn't be surprised, though, if they covered the spread.
I think they'll be that close.
I mean,
I think they're going to get clowned.
Maybe, maybe not. All right.
I don't know.
So those are our picks. We'll tell you how we did next week. Let's see here. So I wanted to take a few minutes here just to chat about the NBA for a second. And
what's happening in the NBA, Nick?
Well, I'll tell you what. The West, as is usual, is fairly open. The team in eighth place is literally six games back from first.
Oh. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Very close. And also, the team in first currently is the Denver Nuggets.
That's interesting. I feel like the Texas figured itself out again, and the Dallas Mavericks are bad, and the Spurs and Houston Rockets are fine.
Yes, it seems like these teams remembered who they are and who plays for them and how the game of basketball works.
I feel like last time we talked about this, the Mavericks had the best record in Texas. So,
yep. Yeah. And the Spurs and the Rockets were 15 and they're 13 and 14 in the league.
Yeah, they were not in the top 8. Nope. So they're doing much better now.
Both those teams have had runs over the past few weeks where they've won almost like 90% of the games they've played. Probably more. Mm-hmm. Like the Spurs lost 3 of those games, I know, and the Rockets lost like probably 2 or something like that. Also, a team in the East that was looking pretty dead in the water, the Celtics, won like 10 straight. It was like the longest win streak in the NBA for a while.
Celtics were supposed to be real good this year, right?
Spurs are looking great. They have like the best they've had over the past their win streak here, or like this past chunk of games. I think it's like 12 games. They've had the best offense in the league and the second best defense in the league.
All right. So DeMar DeRozan's coming around on defense then.
It's not just...
They're telling me.
Yeah, actually, he looked pretty good. And we got to see the first revenge matchup between the Spurs and the Raptors.
Oh, yes.
Oh, which, yeah.
There was a lot of discussion. Right? Massive. Were the fans going to cheer Kawhi? Were they going to give him the cold shoulder? Or were they going to let him have it?
And?
And they let him have it, brother. Oh. They booed him. And they even and the Spurs tried to mitigate it. I've watched a lot of WWE, so I know how to manipulate things to get people to boo as little as possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's all WWE can do. They can't get people to cheer. They can just try to get people to boo as less.
They call that the Roman Reigns effect.
Yes. So using their clever Roman Reigns techniques, they like cut together because Danny Green also got traded away. In the trade, and people like Danny Green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Danny Green, everyone still likes Danny Green.
He was a lunch pail kind of player. Everybody liked him. And so they intercut the Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green footage together so that people wouldn't, so you wouldn't have a nice big sustained boo or a big pop of boos. They tried to like mitigate it, but then when they did the introductions, they said, ladies and gentlemen, Danny Green from North Carolina, woo! Yeah! And from San Diego State, Kawhi Leonard. And they booed him every time he touched the ball. There was at one point in the game where he was shooting free throws and they were chanting traitor at him.
Yeah, it was pretty
brutal. Oh my
brutal.
God. That's brutal.
The Raptors are still the one seed in the East right now. 31-12.
I'm looking at these records of teams in the East, and it appears that most of the teams in the East are really bad.
Yes.
Yeah. There's only one tanking team
in fact,
the West.
The 6, 7, and 8 teams all have losing records, which is really sad and pathetic.
That's all right. But there are 5 decent teams in the East that could...
76ers are having a good year. That's entertaining.
Well,
they tanked the shit out of the past like 4 years or whatever.
Well, until they got Jimmy No Fun Butler.
Oh, yeah.
Well, who's bitching about everything now?
He likes to bitch about that.
The Warriors have been up, down. Like, for them, they've been having issues.
The Warriors?
Yeah.
They're still second in the West.
Right, I said for them, and then.
But I mean, they've lost 14 games already, which is pretty. That seems like a lot for them.
The Thunder are in third place.
That's normal.
The Clippers
are in fourth. What the fuck?
Yeah, they don't even have anybody that you remember from that team.
Oh no, Blake Griffin.
Oh, what's his name? Plays for the Rockets now.
Who?
God, what's the? I hate the dude. What's his name?
Chris Paul.
No, I hate that guy, but not Chris Paul. No. He's a coach's son.
Austin Rivers.
Yeah. Rivers, yeah.
He's on the Rockets?
Yep.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
All right, Nick, here's a impromptu Nick doesn't know anything.
Oh, cool. God.
Name three players on the active Clippers roster.
Nope, can't do it. I don't know.
Do you know any players on the active Clippers roster?
No, I don't. I couldn't name a single player on the Clippers because DeAndre Jordan's at Dallas. Blake Griffin's in Detroit. Chris Paul's
really?
In. Yeah.
No. I looked at the Clippers roster. I was confused.
Oh, really?
Patrick Beverley is on the Clippers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Avery Bradley.
Avery Bradley's on the Clippers? Oh, Boban.
Boban.
Boban's on the Clippers.
Oh, I love Boban.
Yeah.
Boban's like
how are the Clippers
giant.
Winning games?
Marcin Gortat, known 7-foot-tall Abe Lincoln impersonator.
He really could do it. He really, really could do it. Did you guys see? So, like, Dirk Nowitzki's on the farewell tour this year.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see when he was in Boston the other day?
No, what did he do?
So he was there for his last time. And I guess in the game he had the opportunity to beat Kobe's record for amount of points scored, like by an opponent in TD Garden.
Right.
And so all he had to do, I think, was like hit a shot and he would have beaten the record. And he goes like 0-for-10 in the game.
Oh like, my god.
Which is really disappointing. But at the end of the game, like as the clock was expiring, he like pulled up for a three and like the bench on both sides were like super stoked and excited, like, oh! And it missed. And they were like, oh, like everybody wanted them to hit it. Like that's the thing I love about a guy like Dirk. Now, like there's been plenty of battles in the playoffs and regular games where I've hated the man. Not hated the man. I respect his game. I respect the guy. He's a nice guy.
I just
guy.
Didn't want him to win in the game.
I just didn't want him to win. And with the exception of 1 year, I rooted for them, and that was over the Heat in 2011. And anyway, so he the way he plays the game, like, just kind of begets respect. And that's one thing I've always liked about Dirk. And it's sad to see, like, he's really the last of that generation, it feels like, to go.
Yeah, Steve Nash, Tim Duncan, they sort of entered, I think, Nowitzki came a year after time. Duncan, I think.
Yeah, Nowitzki was about then. Kevin Garnett was like a couple of years before.
Yeah.
Kobe was
96, I think.
Yeah.
96 draft.
So,
and,
I mean, like, yeah. All those guys kind of came around the same couple, 5-6 years. Kind of sad. But we've got new guys.
Nick, if we could afford to, I would totally play Landslide for you. But that costs too much money, so we're not going to do it.
I appreciate you not spending money we don't have. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens with that. We'll talk a little bit more in depth about the NBA next week when we don't have as much college football to talk about. Because now I can really get in. Now we can all really get into the NBA season a little bit more. College basketball starting to heat up. We're getting closer and closer to March Madness. Boys, I think we should make a trip to Vegas.
When?
During March Madness.
During March Madness.
Yeah, that's not going to fucking happen, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Corey, your wife can take care of the newborn baby for a few days while you go to Vegas and gamble.
That's not going to happen.
With your boys, Corey.
It's not going to happen.
Well, yeah, tell her it's for the podcast.
Just send her an edible arrangement while you're gone.
Yeah, that's going to sell it, Nick.
Yeah. Yeah, just send her an edible arrangement. Some cantaloupe carved into a heart.
Tell her it's for work.
She'll love it.
Oh, yeah, the garbage melon.
Tell her it's for The garbage melon. Which one's the garbage melon?
All of them besides watermelon.
Get no. Cantaloupe and honeydew are amazing.
Honeydew sucks, dude. Don't
get out of here.
Don't it just tastes like water. Here.
No, fuck you.
It's like garbage.
Watermelon is water. It's literally called watermelon.
Mm. It's like slightly more moist raw zucchini.
No.
I can cut open a watermelon, Nick, and dump vodka into it, and it's perfectly fine. Tastes amazing.
I'm taking
you know what? Just fuck off,
alcohol.
Nick.
No, fuck you. You don't know anything.
You don't know anything.
Speaking
you
of
like cantaloupe and honeydew, like some kind of... Never mind.
Let's talk about this one guy who didn't know anything. It's quick hits. So, I was going to ask, you guys ever thought about robbing somebody before? Obviously not.
Oh, yeah.
But
oh, yeah, obviously.
There are people who have had the thought to rob someone because they're stupid.
Right.
So,
oh.
This one gentleman decided that he was going to rob this woman. It turns out that this woman was UFC strawweight Pollyanna Viana, and she was waiting for a cab in front of her apartment in Rio de Janeiro. And he sat next to her and tried to steal her phone. So the man asked for the time. Then he told her to give up the phone and threatened her with a gun. And then she realized he was probably lying. So she's like, he was really close to me. If it's a gun, he won't have time to draw it. So I stood up, I threw two punches and a kick. He fell, then I caught him in a rear naked choke. Then I sat him down in the same place we were before and said, now we'll wait for the police. And I don't know if you guys see the picture down here.
Oh, yeah.
But the dude's left side of his face, like he's all bloody. It looks like his, like the left above the cheekbone there is swollen and like his eye is starting to swell shut.
Yep.
She messed him up.
His ass kicked.
From his mouth.
Yep.
Blood all over the front of his shirt.
Just remember.
It's probably a mistake to, you know, fight a person that's trained to do these things.
I'm going
to
be honest with you. It's probably a bad idea to rob people, but if you're in that line of work, I'm just going to say this.
You got to pick your targets better, bro.
Pick your targets wisely.
Also, don't rob people.
Also, robbery is a little strong. You know what? Burglary, not so bad. There's not the threat. Did you know, guys?
Don't burgle people either.
Did you know that robbery refers to implied force?
Yes.
Yes. A lot of people don't do that. So, like, when somebody comes... Have you ever been watching a show or, like, a friend called you and said, Nick, my God, I've been robbed. It's like... did you see the guy? No. It's like, well, then you were burgled, you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
So not only were you burgled,
robber and a thief.
You're wrong.
Yeah.
A thief
I know about
just
this.
Steals your shit without you noting. A robber.
I know this,
like,
Nick, because I have
up.
To. I have to explain to the students the difference because there's different words in Latin too.
Ah.
Oh yeah.
Latro is a robber. A fur is a thief.
Oh, it's like how there's a difference between jail and prison.
It's true.
Yeah.
Jail being like the temporary holding before trial.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And or like the temporary, you know, lockup situation until you can pay bail or whatever. And then prison is usually, you know, your longer term sentences.
Yeah. Yeah, and Latin has like 15 words for kill.
Well, a lot of people died.
A lot of murdering in Latin.
Lots of Latin murders.
There's your, like, neutral kill. Like, it just happened. No judgment. There's, like, you violently killed them.
Just happened?
You killed them in battle.
Yeah.
You
killed
them for no
reason.
A helpless person.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yep. So you have to have all... You can't be vague with these things. Nick.
No.
You need to have... Use the right
very
word for kill.
Yeah.
All right. Next up on Quick Hits. So this is an interesting saga that's been ongoing with... New York Knicks player Enes Kanter. Now, he's from Turkey, right?
Yep.
Okay, so he's from Turkey, but he is not traveling with the Knicks to London for a game that they're going to be playing because he's worried that Turkish spies might kill him. Now, if you don't know a lot about Enes Kanter, he's a guy who is an outspoken critic of the Turkish president. Daryl, do you even know how to say his name?
His name is Erdogan.
Erdogan? Okay. So he's been a huge critic of that that guy.
Of the Turkish president.
Of the Turkish president, right.
It doesn't matter.
So he came out and he said, sadly, I'm not going because of that freaking lunatic, this Turkish president. There's a chance that I can get killed out there, so that's why I talked to the Knicks front office.
London?
I'm not going. Well, he thinks outside of the U.S., anywhere he can, you know.
I mean, the U.S. is apparently safe from spies. I didn't know.
Well, to be fair, Russian spies did kill some people in England.
That is true.
Actually true, yeah.
Allegedly.
You're going to tell me they don't have spies here, though? Come on, man. Come on.
Well, it'd be harder to get away with here in the States.
Yeah.
You believe that?
Really? Yeah.
Really? So
I'm not going to let him go.
I don't trust the government that much, bro.
So they've been at odds. Let's see. Okay, so just dating back. In May 2017, he was detained in Romania after his Turkish passport was seized. A month later, the government arrested his father but released him a week later. Soon after that, Turkey sought a 4-year prison sentence after Kanter insulted the president on Twitter last year. Because of these incidents, as well as the consistent flood of death threats and hatred he receives for his political beliefs, Kanter does not really leave the U.S. unless it's for a game against the Raptors.
So Canada's okay, too.
Well, I mean, it's just across the border right there, so.
It's true.
Canada's not going to sell him out to Erdogan.
But, gentlemen, this is kind of the same story, so. Hidu Turkoglu.
Now for fair, balanced reporting here.
For fair, balanced reporting, let's take a look at the other side. Hidu Turkoglu, another former NBA player. He's actually a spokesman. A PR guy for the Turkish president.
Mm-hmm.
So he had retired from the NBA. I actually didn't realize he'd retired at that point. I just thought I hadn't seen him in a while. I was like, I wonder where Hito is. So Turkoglu was pissed off by Kanter's comments. He posted a standard issue damage control statement that chalked up Kanter's travel obstacles, the passport, and visa issues, saying that all the very real scares... Basically, like, downplaying all those scares that Rent mentioned about Kanter and his family. So he wrote, like, this long diatribe. Let's see here. We know that he's not been able to travel to many countries due to visa issues. In other words, Kanter cannot enter the UK, not because of fears for his life, as he claims, but due to passport and visa issues. This being the long-known truth, he is trying to get the limelight with irrational justifications and political remarks. Remarks constitute another example of the political smear campaign Kanter has been conducting against Turkey, as well as his efforts to attribute importance to himself by covering up the contradictions in his sports career.
Okay. Is Hito Turkoglu throwing shade at Enes Kanter's career?
Yes. Then he goes on to say, Kanter not only targeted the Republic of Turkey, governed by the rule of law, with unjust accusations, but he also regarded the British security forces as weak and attempted to harm Turkish-British relations.
I don't think he's going to score many points with the UK government for that.
Who? Kanter or Hidu?
Turkoglu, yeah.
Turkoglu. I'm not going to comment on this because I don't know what the problem, like, what's going on in Turkey.
I don't know enough either.
This is weird.
Nick, by the way, when you're talking about being safe in England, London Has Fallen is playing on my TV. On
well, Nick, you went to London. I'm sure it was perfectly safe, right?
Yeah, it fell.
in real life.
No, it was pretty safe, I guess. I don't know.
Cool. That was fun.
I mean, I didn't feel in danger. All right, totally did not dump anything. That's where we're going to come in, right there. Okay. On to the next one. Let's talk about things that people say sometimes tongue-in-cheek. Although this one, I think, was actually a very real thing that he said and didn't quite realize it. So, Minnesota Timberwolves fired Tom Thibodeau.
All right.
in a press conference earlier, Derrick Rose, who played for Tom Thibodeau when they were in Chicago, and he was a guy who really liked Tibbs, and he said that, so this is what Rose said as he goes forward without Thibodeau there. I have a lot of confidence in myself. Tibbs was just the coach that believed in me. He jump-started my career again, and for that I'll always be thankful. But for everybody to think it's going to stop, kill yourself. Well, he also said kill yourself again later in the press conference.
That's probably not a good usage of words.
Yeah. Although Corey says that to me all the time.
Yeah,
I
but
that's going
different.
To kill myself.
That's different.
Here's
it's,
the thing.
It's more tongue-in-cheek.
We're friends.
It's
I'm
tongue-in-cheek.
Tell you that. I know you're not going to kill yourself.
Also, you're not going to. You're not saying it to a reporter.
Yeah.
And you're not in
I'm
the
not
public.
Saying it to all my haters.
Right. Oh, yeah. He actually said this later. He said, like I said, for everybody that thinks I'm not going to play the same way, kill yourself because I believe in myself.
That's just rude, bro.
Yeah. You could just easily say, kiss my ass. Or kiss my grits.
Yeah, I don't. He didn't mean it in the sense of like.
Guys, he apologized on Twitter, so it's fine.
He did apologize.
He messed up by using the slang term "kill yourself." Slang term.
I think things are constantly changing in lexicon, right? In the and I think it's a phrase that. I don't want to say it was popular, but it was I think it was a phrase that was a little more common than it would be in today's age. Things have changed over the past even year, 2-3 years especially. So I think I don't fault the guy. I think it's funny. Because I see where he's coming from.
Like that, you know. I'm just saying.
But, he didn't mean anything. I mean, he obviously was telling them to, you know, stick it where the sun don't shine, right? But at that point, you might as well just say, go F yourselves.
Yeah. Or cram it with walnuts, ugly.
Cram it with walnuts, ugly. Was that from The Simpsons?
Yeah.
Of course it was.
That home... How was that? Cram
it with walnuts, ugly.
I mean, he could have just said, go fuck yourself. That would have been better.
I don't know, Nick. This movie is making it look like it's not safe in London at all.
Jesus Christ. It's a fucking fictional movie, Daryl. It doesn't matter.
I don't know. I think I agree with Ennis Cantor.
Maybe.
It's not safe in London.
All right.
On to the next one.
Last one, fellers. Jared Allen. The man, the guy, the dude with the mullet. Well, he was known for his football prowess, and now he's working on a little something else. So, during the 2018 Winter Olympics, the former Vikings defensive lineman had dinner with Hockey Hall of Famer Lou Nan and told him he was looking to get into curling. The Olympic sport.
Yeah, the Olympic sport.
Allen set himself a goal of making the Olympic team in 2022. So after hearing about Allen's plan, curling facility manager and 2010 Olympian John Benton reached out to offer his services. Allen recruited some old NFL buddies to round out his team, quarterback Mark Bulger, linebacker Keith Bullock, and offensive tackle Michael Ruse. The four Pro Bowlers are now a professional curling team. Benton is listed as the alternative, but he says his role is primarily to coach.
Yep.
So, when the limelight is over in the NFL, or, you know, coming to an end, depending, you don't have to go sit in a booth. You don't have to be all fancily dressed for TV.
Yep.
You can get yourself a big old, what the hell is that thing? Disc black thing. And then you can get a bunch of dudes with brooms and start clearing the way.
Yep. You don't have to play golf like a rich person like Tony Romo. You can play the sport of kings. Competitive rock sliding.
Yep.
Yeah. I actually know a guy on a curling team. He curls. It's just like a local thing. Apparently they mostly win their local
thing. I mean, it's not as noble endeavor as cornholing. But
I think curling's probably higher, better than cornhole.
No, it's just because they were desperate for winter Olympic sports, so it managed to sneak in. But you watch
what
in the next few Olympics when cornholing takes over. We can get rid of badminton. No one plays badminton except rich Asian people. All right.
All right.
So we are going to, and rich white people.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
So why don't we just get rid of badminton and put in the sport of kings, the true sport of kings, in cornholing. And by the way, they are a professional team, but they're not a successful professional team.
They
professional
are not.
Team of what?
They do have snazzy outfits.
Of curling.
Oh, they're just doing like rec leagues and shit to try to learn. Yeah.
Trying to work their way from the bottom. They're not trying to take shortcuts.
Yeah, they're like not even Tim trying to Tebow. They're not trying to point themselves out as like famous NFL players. They're just, you know, trying to learn shit.
They're trying to learn.
Seem
so
to be
they can
taking
actually
it actually
play.
Seriously, you know?
Yeah.
It's actually pretty good.
It's kind of fun. Cool. We'll keep an eye on it.
It's neat, man. Dude, if you were like a former NFL player and you have anything better to do, you might pick up something rando sport, right?
Yeah, there was like some lineman, I think, for the Steelers who decided to become a marathon runner.
Yeah.
Lost like 120 pounds. And
that's awesome.
You can watch.
I mean, you're an athlete. You should do something athletic that older athletes can do. And
you
golf
can watch
is not your thing.
Streams of their game on their YouTube channel.
Nice. That sounds like a fun afternoon.
So
I'd be more with Tony Romo and playing golf, though.
Later this month, I like watching Romo play golf. Later this month, Team Allen will head to Arizona to participate in the Ed Wierenich Golden Wrench Classic.
Oh, one of my favorite events, Nick.
A popular tournament with several North American teams, including six ranked in the top 40. They'll look to get in a couple more tournaments to finish the season, then begin planning the full schedule, 8 to 10 events for the 2019-20 season.
You know what I learned about curling? Scoring is really confusing.
Oh, man, it's just like shuffleboard.
No.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's exactly like shuffleboard.
So you see this picture with that thing in the back that says like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10?
Yeah.
Those are like, it's just really weird, dude.
It's shuffleboard.
That's like the score, but you put what like, I forgot what they're called. What are the like rounds?
I don't know.
Anyways, it's confusing. Like, no, I mean, you keep score like that. The score is fine, like shuffleboard, right?
Yeah.
But the way they track it is weird.
Hmm.
Like, the numbers they put up on that board are the, like, rounds.
Hmm.
So if I scored 3 points in the first round, I put a one and the three. Like, a one on my side of the three, either yellow or red. It's kind of weird.
I see.
It's just, it's fucking confusing. I was like, what? I was like trying to figure it out at one point. I was like, oh, I'd have somebody explain it to me. Like, what the fuck is happening?
Well, one day maybe we'll learn more about curling. In the meantime, check out their YouTube page.
I told you I know a guy who does curling in Austin. It's pretty entertaining.
Check out their YouTube page, All Pro Curling Team. We'll see if we can get Corey's, but no, we're not doing that.
We're not doing that.
I was going to say, we're going to break it on down. Here to talk about curling. But then I realized.
We're not doing that. Maybe in, really when the Olympics happen again.
Yeah, maybe when the Olympics happen, we can ask him why this was allowed to exist.
2022?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, when the show's still going in 2022.
Yeah,
right. So 2020 is the Summer Olympics?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Presidential election years are Summer Olympics.
Sweet, we got that coming up soon.
Correlation, but really?
That well, yeah, that will do it for this episode of Sports MacGuffins. We'll be back next week to talk more about the NFL, look ahead to the end of the NBA season, and maybe even talk a little bit about college basketball if we can bring ourselves to care.
Are there any other sports happening right now?
Hockey,
hockey. Happening. I feel like all of us should try to watch other sports.
Basketball.
I think I'm going to try to watch hockey.
Still a month till pitcher and catcher's report.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, baseball's not happening.
Baseball soon. But not soon.
Women's
I feel
basketball.
Like I could be entertained by hockey. I just got to give it a chance, man.
Maybe. All right.
It's pretty interesting live.
We'll see if we can sneak in a few more things. Corey's going to try hockey, and Daryl and I will take care of the basketball stuff.
Yep.
Sound like a plan?
Yes.
All right. And we'll never talk about curling again. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
Next 3 years.
Thanks for listening. It looks like the hot take train is leaving the station.
God damn it.